of the saving power of Jesus Christ in this little girl that was napalmed in Vietnam and miraculously survived, came to know Christ through finding a Bible, and eventually defected to Canada and has established a Christian family in a nearby community. So we're delighted with that. It's very special for Karen and I to have our guest speaker with us today. Dennis Anderson has been a friend and a partner in gospel work for more years than we care to count, perhaps, as the years roll by. But Dennis is a Toronto boy, grew up in St. Clair Church, where we had our first membership in the missionary church, and planted a church in Lindsay, first of all. I'm not giving all the details, but our paths became more tightly entwined when he went to Winnipeg as a church planter. Dennis is kind of an Apostle Paul kind of guy. Things don't stay the same when Dennis is around. And he supports himself when it's necessary, and when it isn't necessary, when the church grows to the point that it's able to provide support, he sets aside his love of Volkswagens and repairing them, and just pours himself into the ministry in the church. And Dennis and Lois have been an encouragement and a challenge to us through many years in his ability to respond to the situation God has called him to and to make adjustments along the way. From Winnipeg, they went to North Bay, had wonderful ministry there, and for 2 years now has been one of our regional ministries supporting other ministries. And one of the characteristics of Dennis is that no matter where he's been, he's had a kingdom view. He's always been developing others and supporting other ministries to be established. And so I'm just delighted that Dennis is here. He's going to minister the word of God to us, and may our hearts be open and responsive to what God the Holy Spirit is saying through Dennis this morning. God bless you.
Thanks, Dave. Your pastor over those years has deeply affected my life. Dave and Karen, thank you for the investment. I'm amazed at how often there are memories of places and people where major decisions have been made. I remember sitting in this place, I think it was six or seven years ago when we held district conference here. Help me out. 6 years. I sat right about where you are sitting, Jim, off to the side, so as to try and be just off to the side. Brian Stiller was the speaker. We had just gone through the agonizing situation where we had proposed developing a new church plant in Calendar Bay, and our local church board had unanimously voted no. I was feeling lower than a snake's belly. I like to know what the vote is going to be, at least approximately, before you take the vote. And it was one of those things that came absolutely as a total shock. And Brian Stiller was preaching in this pulpit, and he stepped aside from the pulpit from the book of Nehemiah and said, "Find a broken wall and fix it." Find a broken wall and fix it. And I'm sure it challenged everybody the same way it did me. Not likely. For we had just come from this situation where a community had not had a local church for 3 years. The church had closed. It was vacant. It was desperately in need. And it spoke into my life. And returning to North Bay on that evening, then presented to our board afresh with my resignation in my pocket, saying, "I know that you've already said no, but would you release me?" And before the board meeting ever got started, one after another said, "You know, last month we voted wrongly. I'd like to just change my vote." And before things changed, before the meeting was over, there was unanimous vote to build a church in Calendar Bay. And you had a part in it. Sometimes changes happen and we don't even realize it. My first association with the Markham Church goes back many years. My parents were part of the beginnings of the St. Clair Church. And we had a jewelry store at Markham Road and number 7, Spence and Anderson Jewelers. And so most of my summers were spent here in the downtown metropolis of what that time was a village of Markham, where you could buy homes relatively cheap. Those days are gone. And I do remember being just a young man. And this is the young man that first attended Markham Church. Just a kid of 7 or 8, I remember visiting here with my parents. I don't remember who the preacher was at the time, but I remember Ed Prosser was the guest speaker of that particular time. And I must have been one of those guys in the back corner that caused some difficulty, because at the end he said to me, "Someday you're going to know what it's like from the front." Little did he know. When my mother passed away, we went through her purse. You should never do that. In preparation for the funeral. And I found a picture of her firstborn son. Now, I want you to know that my mom died 5 years ago. This was the only picture she had of her firstborn son. This is about the time when I was visiting Markham as a young man. And we have different memories that go along with that. But things have changed now. And my family now, this picture taken in North Bay in the summer, let's just move ahead one, things have really changed. And 4 children later, and 4 grandchildren, and 2 or 3 spouses, and one that would like to take one additional, things change. All what seems like in a moment, things change. And yet the Word of God tells us in Philippians chapter 1 that being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. We are not who we will be, but by God's grace, we are not who we were. We are in transition. For many of us, we are 1 telephone call away at times from major differences in our lives. I was at the district conference in Sarnia when we received word that my mom had passed away, and things changed. Things changed. And we want to clearly declare that our God is able to do above and beyond all that we could ask or even imagine. In our home, we have 2 dogs. 2 Cocker Spaniel dogs. One of these dogs came back from Ecuador as a pup, with Keith Elliott. My wife Lois, who isn't able to be with us today, is Keith Elliott's sister. So we have a close affinity there. And when he came home, he brought Ginger back to us. And we've had that dog in our home now for 11 years. And she had pups. And we had that as a mission project. But one of the dogs was born slightly different. And if you take a close look at one of those dogs, you'll see that something is drastically different from the norm. What would that be? Well, let me take the next picture. Because when the dog was born, this dog was born with only, count them, 3 legs. Yeah. What do you name a dog with only 3 legs? You name him, you got 2 choices. Easel or Tripod. And this is our dog, Tripod. Now, if you come and visit our home and these dogs greet you, they will have a bit of a choir assembly for you. And when I introduce them to you, once you've got their names right, nobody ever makes a mistake. It's amazing. Nobody makes a mistake on which dog is which. One dog is Ginger and one dog is Tripod. And if you visit us, and we're just in the process of a move from North Bay down to Curtis, and you come and visit, we'll introduce you to these dogs, and I guarantee you probably won't get them wrong. Because the name says something. Friends, we live in a day and age when the term Christian no longer means the same as what it used to mean. And we need to clearly declare that it is Christ living within, and the cross has made all the difference to us. You see, there's a message here that we're confident that he who began a good work in you is able to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It is the declaration that as Christ ones, we have a difference in our lives. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3 says, therefore you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. Joyfully draw water, springs, salvation. And the psalmist said, those who sing as well as those who play flutes will say, all my springs of joy are in you. Tony Campolo would say that Christians have the best reason to have a party of anybody on the planet. Because we know we are redeemed and we know where we're going. There is tremendous privilege in knowing where you're going. It isn't that you spend your whole time looking out your car window saying, am I going home today? But there is this sense when you know where you're going, you no longer worry about it. Some years ago, I bought a GPS. Men, you know what they are. You've been trying to get one for years, but your wife says the $300, $400 just isn't worth it. Well, I'm here to say they're great fun. They tell you where you're going, and it tells you where to turn next. And you can turn it off. Knowing where you're going, it's worth it to know that. And when we are believers in Christ, we know where we're going. The cross has made a huge difference in our lives. And little things in our lives make the difference. Some years ago, our two daughters had a summer job of painting Lakeshore Church. There were places there in North Bay where it just needed to be painted almost every year. And when they were painting, they heard a thud against the glass front doors. And when they came, they found, lying lifeless, a ruby-throated hummingbird at the front doors of the church. Now, as the girls nursed this thing and cared for it, and the paint dried on the brushes and on the rollers, they nurtured and cared for the hummingbird as if it was life and death. Now, there's a couple of things you need to know here. It's a good job it was our girls that found the hummingbird. Our son Glenn, who is now a contractor in Stratford and very active in the church there, I can remember him bringing a frog to his mother and saying, watch how the eyes bulge! It's a good job it was the girls. This ruby-throated hummingbird was their focus of attention for probably 6 to 7 hours. And just after this picture was snapped, the hummingbird flew away. Now, I'd like to say that it flew three circles and nodded and said thanks, and, you know, that didn't happen. But this is a live hummingbird who, moments after this picture was taken, had been nursed back to health and strength and went off into the night. Now, I share this with you to share this, that hummingbird was in two places at the same time. It was in the safest place on the planet and the most dangerous place. At one wrong squeeze, life would have been completely squeezed out of this tiny, tiny little ruby-throated hummingbird. But it was the heart of Sarah and Carol that kept alive that hummingbird. And in the will of God, you are both in the most dangerous place on the planet and the safest place. Because at one moment, he has the power to take from you the breath and life which you have. But you are in the safest place because you know his heart. Chuck Swindoll has coined the phrase that you can trust his heart even when you can't see his hand. There is a sense in which we need to know we are in the safest place on the planet. We are in a place of God's love and grace, and we have the best news to share. Good news to share. The verse so aptly read by Barry this morning says this, if we were put on friendly terms with God by the sacrificial death of his son, now, just think how our lives will expand and deepen by means of his resurrection life. Just think of it. The glory of it all. Jesus said, I am here inviting outsiders, not insiders. an invitation to a changed life, changed inside and out. Sitting where Jim is sitting changed my life one day. Sitting where you're sitting, you need to know that God is still in the process. Whether you are 9, 19, 29, or 90, God is still in the process of changing our lives because he's in the process of touching our world. And as I look around, he's not done yet. He's still got a job to do. As I look around, I understand that the corporate church together can only do that as the individual church, you and me, as we reach out and change lives one at a time because we share our satisfaction of what God has done in our lives. I refer to it as, I'm a filter queen salesman with one in my own closet. I am satisfied with what Jesus has done in my life, therefore we share it. And it makes all the difference in the world. So what will we do? Number one, let's open our mind to God's power. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Changing the way you think. God deals with us not by imposing, but rather by sharing with us the good news that something has made a drastic difference. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 18 says, many are far away from life of God, with God because they have shut their minds against him, so they can't understand his ways. And then in Ephesians chapter 7, I pray that you'll begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe in him. It's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Wow. Opening our mind to understand that God is doing something in our understanding allows us that freedom to know that he will guide us and direct us. Secondly, let's open our heart to God's grace. God's grace. Ephesians chapter 1 says, God has showered upon us the richness of his grace, for he understands us and knows what is best for us at all times. I'm okay with everything until that last little bit. And every once in a while, there are something in my life that I think you forgot. I think it's at all times, the Word of God says that it is God's grace. Warren Wiersbe says God's grace is not God giving us what we don't deserve. God's mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. God's grace. Open our heart to God's grace. In Romans chapter 3, God says he will accept us and acquit us, declare us not guilty in the Living Translation, if we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sins, and we all can be saved in the same way by coming to Christ, no matter who we are or what we've been like. It's amazing to understand that God loves us, even in the songs that we sang this morning, before we have come to him. He loves us. Your neighbor is loved by God, but has not reciprocated that love, cannot know what it's like, has not received the gift. Open our heart to God's grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, in the message, it says, saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. Wow. That's a pretty hefty gift. And then God gives grace to the humble so that God, according to James chapter 4, can work his will in us. Say a quiet yes to God. And the word says he'll be there in no time. Wow. Thirdly, open your life to God's love. Open your life to God's love. We very seldom understand how God's love permeates and, like a capillary action, makes a difference. We're now between residences. Just received word I'm working part-time with our Banfield Wellspring Church as the interim pastor, so I'm down here for part of the week. And I went to our our Curtis home, got the mail, and in the mail was a letter. Madeline Daly had begun attending our church in North Bay some 4 or 5 years ago. Our communication has been rather limited and little over the years in many ways. Over the past 2 years, while Lakeshore in North Bay has been our home church, I have been away probably 4 or 5 Sundays out of 4 or 5 Sundays. And Lois has traveled with me for most of that time. But Madeline had written this letter, and in it she said, today, this was last Sunday, she must have written this, but I didn't get it till yesterday. Today I was elected as a deaconess. I would have never thought I would have arrived at this point. But I'm writing to let you know how much you had to do with it. Oh boy, she's got my attention already. And she said this, that one time 5 years ago when she came into church, they had been away a long, long time, and I took her and took her hand and looked her in the eye, and I said, welcome home to her. And she said, and it changed my life. How is it that two words can change a life? You know what that's like, because you've participated in that from time to time. You know what it's like to receive that commendation from time to time. You know it's the little things that make a difference. In fact, Paul said, from the foolishness of preaching, some would be reached. The love of God, His web of love, His net of love, reaching out and making a difference. Dave alluded to my appreciation for Volkswagens. I actually was trained as a watchmaker and jeweler, but when we lost our equipment in a house fire in 1979, and then shortly after that moved out to Winnipeg, I had to find some way to make ends meet, and so it was an easy transition from watches to Volkswagens. Actually, we learned while we were out there that if you had a Volkswagen diesel that would run, you could sell it. Didn't matter how many miles were on it, so that's actually how the Winnipeg Church was founded. But I want to introduce a couple to you that I sold a Volkswagen to this past year. This is the Kinsey family, Simeon and Rebecca. When they came to buy this car from me, 1992 Volkswagen Jetta, I was asking a whopping $350. And he had the audacity to offer me $300. And I said to him, I'll sell you the car for $300 if you let me tell you how I got the car. Hey, for $50? $50, it's worth 5 minutes story, eh? He says, you're on. And I told him what I'm about to tell you. A year ago, I received a long-distance call from Timmins. On the other end was a man who identified himself as Eric and said, are you still into Volkswagens? I said, well, what do you got in mind? He says, I want to give you my Volkswagen. I said, I'm into Volkswagens. You know, preacher, free, bargain, good plan. Then I quickly thought to myself, it's really not worth a tow dolly and a transport 4 hours. He says, no, you don't understand. We will drive it. We'll deliver it. I just wanted to know if you were still into Volkswagens. It's fine. He gave me his cell number and said that he was going to be coming down through North Bay on the holiday long weekend in May on the Thursday evening. In the meantime, I was reminded that he may not know where I live, so I called and said to him, I'll give you my address. He says, I know where you live. I said, well, we lived for 5 years beside the church, but for the last 7 years, I know where you live. I got off the phone and said to Lois, I am really uncomfortable. You're going to be at Pitch and Praise. These folks are supposed to be coming. I have no idea what I'm in for. Did I sell this car? Did it blow up? Are they going to kill me? Like, what's going on here? This is really, really weird. On the evening before the long weekend, the Thursday. Call came in from his cell phone. But 10:30 at night, said they're going to arrive. I said, I'll have the coffee pot on about 10:45. They pulled in. With this Volkswagen, in behind pulled a 1990 Jeep Cherokee Country model, blue with gold trim. Do I like Jeeps? Yes. An equally well-appointed young woman stepped out of the Jeep, put her hand out to me, and said, hi, my name is Val, and I'm here to thank you for your part in giving me a Christian husband. Well, she had my attention. Eric is just getting out of the Volkswagen. He's smiling from ear to ear. As they said in chorus, and we're here to tell you the rest of the story. It's a Paul Harvey moment for me, actually. As they came in and sat down, Eric said, I don't think you remember me. 3.5 years ago, I was traveling from Timmins to North Bay, and I broke down. I began spewing oil out the oil pressure sending unit that's on the top of the head. He had the best undercoated car on the planet. But he was getting about 10 kilometers to a liter. That's a lot of oil going out. He stopped at a gas station just on the outskirts of North Bay, and in rather flowery, smoke-filled language, the mechanic told him what he thought of Volkswagens and where he could put it. But he did say that there was some dumb preacher he'd heard about down on Lakeshore who loved these things. He had an equally complimentary term for me. There's only two churches on Lakeshore. He found the one. The pastor knew me and was able to direct him down to us. And we struck up a conversation. And fortunate, through the help of a lot of people around town, I had a few Volkswagens parked in various places, so that I could access the parts. You see, for years I had used these things to train young people, especially the young men, and disciple them. On Monday afternoons, they would fix them. So if you came to Lakeshore Church on a Sunday, you might see 4 or 5 of these things lined up, and this is the young men. This was my discipling tool that worked along with them, because they wouldn't listen to me in the pulpit unless they'd seen me under the hood. You know what that's like, dads? You know? Well, I was playing that part. So I had all these cars, had the parts. We worked late on into the evening in the garage, and I had a bunch of other things because these things, the door handles always break, and he was getting into the passenger side all the time, and I was able to fix the driver's door. Amazing thing. You know, you get inside the driver's door, it's wonderful, and rear window defogger and aerial that goes up and down. We just puttered around and did a whole bunch of stuff. All the time, he's amazed as I'm sharing with him my own personal testimony of what it meant for me and why I was doing Volkswagens and what I was involved with. He stayed overnight with us, much to Lois's hesitation. This was a pretty foul-mouthed young fella, 19.5 years old, with a bit of a streak in him. Stayed with us for breakfast. At 10 o'clock, headed out. He took a copy of Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and he was gone. That's the end of the story. That's all I knew. I didn't even know a last name, except I knew it ended with O-V, which made he was Czechoslovakian. At least that's what I thought. I didn't know anything more. And then Eric turned and said, now we'd like to tell you the rest of the story. You see, I started thinking on what we talked about. And in using his new terminology, the Holy Spirit began to work on his heart. And Eric found himself sitting in the Timmins Fellowship Baptist Church, listening to the pastor, week after week. The pastor there had struck up a friendship with Eric and had the joy of leading Eric to personal faith. Eric had gone to Summit College down at Muskoka Baptist Conference, come back, and he'd got a job in Timmins with the public utilities. Val, who was a new young student, had her first teaching assignment in the great city of Timmins. And being from Baptist background, had begun to attend the Fellowship Baptist Church in Timmins. Now, Eric was a smart fella. You know, he drives Volkswagens. He sees this girl, says, man, that's the next best, you know. And so they strike up a friendship. And before long, they're in love, and they deepen their friendship, and they're going to get married. She's going to sell her car. They're going to buy the Jeep because she's just outside of town. And he says, well, what are we going to do with the old Volkswagen? And Val turned to Eric and said, why don't we take it back to this guy you've told me about and tell him the rest of the story? They're sitting across from me on my dining room table sipping coffee, and I've got tears rolling down my face as I understand the net of God's love has stretched from one occasion around to all of these different circumstances, all of which declaring that as we open our life to God's love, God takes it and does it. Simeon turned with me, jaw dropping down, says, "I've never bought a Christian car before." And then he added these words, "But I know that my grandparents have been praying for me for years. And now that my wife is expecting and we're buying a four-door car, it only seems to make sense if I'm going to buy a Christian car. You will sell it to me for $300. That we should find a church." His grandparents were part of Bethel Chapel, a Brethren assembly in North Bay. This picture was taken in the summer because they'd invited me to come over for coffee. And they said to me, "We thought we'd like to let you know that we have adopted a verse. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we thought you'd like to know." Friends, the love of God so reaches out that it makes such a difference when we understand that it is not the big things that move us. It is not the little decisions, the big decisions. It's the little ones that move us incrementally closer to the Savior. I was attending a seminar in Sudbury. It was attended by Fellowship Baptist pastors in the north. I was the only non-Baptist. Now, if you've ever been in those circumstances, our Baptist friends are much more denominationally celebrative than we are as the Evangelical Missionary Church of Canada. And since I was the only non-Baptist, the leader, John Kaiser, says, "And we got to get him converted the rest of the way." So he called me up to the front and introduced me. He says, I'd like you to meet my friend Dennis Anderson. He's from North Bay, former pastor of Lakeshore Church. And up from the back steps a heavyset individual who came right up to the front, put his arm around me, and turned to the crowd and said, "This man is helping build the Timmins Fellowship Baptist Church." And he said, "I thought you'd like to know that Eric just allowed his name to stand as a junior deacon." How big is our God to orchestrate that kind of love? And you see, he's doing that for you. He's doing that. I felt like the door of heaven had cracked and the breeze from heaven had just blown over to catch a glimpse. If this is what's happening in one circumstance, may it be that this is happening in your life, where you buy grain, where you buy food, where you buy gas. And I began to understand that God honors the intentionality of my heart. If I would live my life as an ambassador of the King, then God would allow me to do stuff differently. I find myself buying gas at the same place, so I get to rub shoulders with the same person and can influence them toward the gospel. As I've traveled as your regional minister throughout Ontario to different churches each week, I carry boat trailer bearings in my trunk. Boat trailer bearings. Because I travel up and down Highway 411. And these little tiny wheels on the boat trailers burn out the bearings. And they're on the side of the road. You've seen them dozens of times. And they're scratching their head wondering what they're going to do. They've been in and out of the water 5 times. The grease is all gone. They're traveling down the highway. They burn them up. Nobody's got them. And then I arrive. Volkswagen Canada recently did an article on it. I may even be on a national TV spot, except that it has religious overtones, you know. But everybody always says, "You're such a good Samaritan." I carry these things because they're all the same size. In 5 minutes, I have the most spellbound audience you can ever imagine. As I stand there wearing latex gloves, surgical gloves, helping them change and telling them why I've got these things and why you allowed me that privilege. And the man who supplies them to me is Jewish and lives in North Bay and gets a great kick out of hearing the stories. And I pray that Mr. Brown will someday make the step of faith as a result. Why do I tell you this? It's the intentionality. You don't have to do what I do. But there are things that you can do that intentionally move you in an opportunity to share the gospel. You don't have to even like Volkswagens. You may have your opinion of them. And friends, the opinion is valid. Let me tell you, the only reason we used them was because as an engineered vehicle, you can take them all apart, and if you need the spring that fits on the whatchamacallit, you can buy just the spring. That's great for a watchmaker. If you drive a Toyota, you can buy the whole assembly, but for the Volkswagen of these years, you could buy the individual piece. Well, if your intent is to change lives through this, then you don't want to buy the whole assembly. You just want to buy the little tiny part. What do you have in your life that could allow you to share God's power, God's grace, and God's love? You could be a cake baker. You could be a mechanic. You could be any number of things. And my question to you is, how did God make you? And what is your ministry? It's more than just coming and making sure that the building is looked after. Church is different. Church in this new century is a reminder of that we are going out from. The number of doors into the church are important, but the number of doors out of the church. Not that you're going to leave, but when you leave, that's when your ministry really begins. I was in one church visiting, and over their back door it says, "You are now entering your mission field." Wow. So where's the mission field? It's not here. Mission field is out there. When you're praying for me, it's on the side of the road. It's with these circumstances. You see, we all have a part in these things. He had never bought a Christian car. I'd never sold one. It probably still breaks down quite regularly. But God's love, the net of God's love, requires your part to sew that web between where you are and where that person is. And when you catch a glimpse of what's going on from heavenly standpoint, you see how one person leads to another. If you take this story of Eric and Val, you'll find that there are hundreds of Christian people who have had an influence. I was just one small part. We don't need to be big guns. We don't need to be big shots in this. We just need to be little people doing little things. When our church in North Bay, some 10 years ago now, split, we had a Saturday evening service, and they decided that they were going to have a separate church. And it was one of those down moments in my life. You know, not every pastor wants to go through a church split. You know, just not a good thing. During that process, I found myself questioning a lot of things, and one of the things I questioned was my definition of ministry. I had functioned with the definition of ministry was any time the Word of God is clearly declared. And there's nothing wrong with that definition. But for me, there was a whispering in my heart that said, any time anything is done that moves anybody incrementally closer to the Savior, that's ministry. And I got wings. It's like suddenly I understood that I didn't need to be preaching. I needed to be a Christian who just happened to be a preacher. And we are all in that same boat. I don't know what your gifting is, but I know that together we can change a world. It may not look the same from your vantage point. It may be that there's something that you've done that you never understood how important it was to the kingdom of God. There are Erics and Vals in your life that you will not even find out about until heavenly places, and it's going to be some party. You remember the song that's probably been used far too many times called "Thank You"? Well, it's all true. Imagine that everyone that you have influenced in heavenly places wants to thank you for your part and tell you the rest of the story. Let's pray. Friends, as we're sharing here today with our heads bowed, there are literally hundreds of untold ministries. What is yours? beyond ministering here within these fine walls, where is your ministry that touches the world? How much more so, being now redeemed, are we reconciled to the Father? How much more? Do you have a ministry? I'd like to pray for you. And just by lifting a head and catching my eye as I scan across this worship auditorium, you'd say, Dennis, pray for me. For the ministries that are deep within, that they would be fulfilled to a world in ways that I never dreamed. I see that. Yeah. Yeah. Bless you. Yeah. Yeah. You all have these stories. They're not my stories. They're our stories together. Bless you. Yes. Yes. If in your spiritual ear you can hear the celebrative applause of the angelic hosts as the church is mobilized in new ways to touch new lives. Is it a barbecue with the neighbors? Is it a cake? Is it tying little kids' shoes or wiping runny noses? All of these things that move anybody and everybody incrementally closer to the Savior. Father, you have seen the uplifted hands and the eyes, and together we come to you. We are your footmen. We are your soldiers. Not with bombs, but with grace and love and peace. We come to you to ask you to teach us to intentionally impact our world in little ways that would make a difference. Because in this place, there are hundreds of Eric and Val's and Simeon's and Rebecca's stories. Hundreds. I pray that you would unleash the church to let it be an effective outreach with neighbors and friends, that this place of assembly would be the place they gather. But the ministry takes place in backyards and living rooms across this great area. Thank you for your love that places us like that hummingbird, both in the most dangerous and the safest place on the planet at the same time, because we can trust your heart. We can trust your hand. Guide and direct, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.